Welcome to the Griffin's Lair.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Griffin's Lair Table Talk. I'm Rocco and I'm joined this evening by...
Steve.
Steve, how the hell have you been, man? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been like since January or February since we sat down for one of these.
Yes, but I think it was February was our last podcast that we actually sat down and recorded. It has been a whirlwind of activity and conventions and expansions, and we're going to talk to you folks tonight about why we've been ghosting you all for the past couple of months, but all in good reason, though. We'll start off with the conventions.
Yeah, we've been to quite a few of them so far this year. I went to LVO in Las Vegas. It was a really, really good show. We're going to be doing an even larger presentation there of product and companies next year. We then went to Cold Wars in Philadelphia, which was a fun little convention. We like the ones in Lancaster a little bit better, but the historical conventions are pretty cool. Then Adepticon came up, and that one was even more amazing than LVO was. That place was so packed. It was unbelievable. We had the shittiest possible booth location, and we sold more than any other show that we've ever done before. It would have been even better, but it is what it is, and we're looking forward to hitting them up again next year. And then we just got back from Chicago again, having gone to a little convention there called Little Wars, and that was a great game convention. They had a lot of really, really cool tables there for some really interesting games.
I just have to say, when you sent me that evening, the picture of the booth location when you guys had just gotten in, and I'd never been more confused in my life. I was sitting there looking at it, and I told my girlfriend, I'm like, well, how the hell do you get to the booth?
That was the problem, was that the booth was up against a air wall, and so we were closed in on all four sides. Fortunately, the guys from Firelock,
Mike, and
everybody were very helpful. They had the end of that row. It was a little bit of a gap in between them and the next booth on that row. And they let us process our way through there all week long until they would get the air wall moved. And being typical casino people, they were late. They were late to open. They were always early to close. And so we lost about 3 hours of opening time in our booth because they were closing the booth up before the floor was done selling, before the vendor hall was done. And in some cases, it was 20, 30 minutes before they had the entire wall open for us. So it was not a good situation.
That's all nuts. All.
It was stupid, really.
That is just goofy. But thanks to Mike and the guys at Firelock for letting us tranche through their booth every damn minute of the day to get to our little section of heaven. What was funny about that, you know, we had a crappy location, but we had, a record show for Adepticon?
It was our highest selling show that we've done to date, which was pretty exciting. There is a little anecdote. We had a internal bet with Lemon, who isn't here today because he's doing some yard work. And if we got to a certain level, I would buy him a Forge World item. And I thought we were so far away from that number. We were going into Saturday. We had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. In the middle of Saturday, we were probably maybe $8,000 away from the target number that he suggested. So I didn't think anything of it. We actually got within less than $20 of that target number when it was all said and done.
I know, and that's the amazing thing about it. And when Lemon had told me about the little side bet he had made with you, and then finding out what the actual total number was at the end, I'm like, oh, he was sweating bullets as it came down to the last $20, $30.
It was about $100 when we left, and then I had sold $50 that hadn't been part of the system because I did it on my phone. And then there was something else, and when it all came in, it was less than $50. It was crazy. We started this in LVO because LVO was the same sort of thing. I was there with my friend Martin, who was helping me out with the show. Shout out to Martin out there in Vegas.
Martin's a huge help.
Yes, amazing. Like, we couldn't do LVO if not for Martin. We really, really appreciate his assistance out there. I was looking at getting a Warp Hunter for my Eldar. I said, you know what? If we hit this target number, then I'm going to go buy the Warp Hunter. And we did. Then he said, well, if you're going to get to the next $1,000, are you going to buy the links. And they also made a point at the GW Forge World booth of letting me know that there is a Scorpion that was available. So almost $300. So I thought, no, maybe the links. And I said, no, not if we do only another 1,000. But if we do 2,000 more, I will get a links. We did the 2,000. I went and bought the links.
Nice.
So then it was...
Is that what you were working on the other day?
Yeah, actually. I started building it. Yeah, I got my Warp Hunter built yesterday, day before, whatever, this weekend. And then I started working on that links. Then it was, okay, if you get to this next number, which was another $2,000, you're going to buy the Scorpion. I'm like, ah, sure, I'll buy the Scorpion. We got to within about $300. So save me the money of buying the Scorpion. But it's still a target out there in case we manage to beat some records at some of these upcoming shows. But it's a lot of fun.
No, it's great. I'm looking forward to hearing what side bets were made for Historicon coming up in July. No.
Yeah, that could be a good one, too.
So we've also been dabbling in an expansion here at the Griffin's Lair. Some of you know, some of you don't. Some of you that are friends of mine on Facebook know that I have posted up a picture of our back room here at the lair, which we had just went ahead and basically added it to our lease.
We've got a warehouse right behind the space that the store at 1645 has. Because of that, we have the advantage, or the ability, I should say, rather than the advantage. Well, the advantage of extra space, that is true warehouse space. After talking with Battlefront and Gale Force 9 for a while, we actually managed to start finally the beginnings of a deal. Actually, it sort of kicked off while I was in Vegas, if I recall, getting ready to head back from that show. And we now are doing excess storage and potential fulfillment for Gale Force 9.
Yes, we have launched Griffin's Logistics, warehousing, fulfillment, and distribution. It's a when we started working together was always that, I don't want to call it our end game step because I don't know where the future is going to take us, but it was always the, oh my God, if we could do warehousing, logistics, distribution, and fulfillment, that was like the goal.
Yeah, and my background is in distribution, so that's always been a target for us. The problem is it takes a lot of money, so we're not quite into distribution part yet, but the fulfillment and storage parts are underway already. We've got a bunch of pallets in our space, and we are about to sign a lease on a new location to better store those, better support the product that Gale Force 9 needs us to take care of for them.
Absolutely. We got to give a shout out to Gale Force 9, Battlefront Miniatures USA.
Rob, Kyle, John.
Burger, those guys. Amos in the warehouse.
Yeah, that's right.
We're really good friends with those guys. We're so happy that we were able to broker them in as our first customer for Griffin's Logistics.
Yeah, especially considering what size company they are.
Absolutely.
This isn't a tiny little deal, which is great.
No, this kind of helps solidify the dream.
Launch it, basically.
Yeah, basically launch it. It was kind of funny just the happenstance and how it all happened. And I just think it's great because we're finally getting to that point where Griffin's Lair is becoming what you and I want it to be.
Right, exactly.
And now with some internal expansions that are going to be coming up, it's only going to get better, in my opinion. And hopefully we can make some lateral movements. Now, the new site that we have that we're looking at getting is a Griffin's Logistics site. It's not a Griffin's Lair site.
Correct, yes.
Just wanted to clarify that.
It's not another store.
Yeah, it's not another store, folks. This is like a 7,100 square foot warehouse or something like that?
It's a little over 6,000, I think. I don't think they have the exact number because there's this add-on piece that they really can't lease, so they're just going to throw it at us. So depending on how big that is, it might be around 7,000.
Nice. Yeah, and I know the ceilings are huge.
Big ceilings.
Huge ceilings, yeah.
Over 20, so we'll be able to rack properly in there. Bit of work ahead of us, pretty exciting.
It's cool to be working with them, and I'm happy that we're getting this moving.
Well, it's been a lot of creating relationships with vendors. It's always been one of our big things. I mean, we talk about our culture. People who have been in the store, especially people who have been here a long time, understand what the culture of Griffin's Lair is.
Absolutely.
And we're looking to do the same sort of thing. Integrity, and we do what we say.
Most importantly, no bullshit.
No bullshit. Yeah, exactly. don't like any of that stuff. You always see other unnamed stores and distribution and all kinds of stuff blame point figures in all kinds of other directions. Oh, my manufacturer can't get this to me. Oh, my distributor can't get this to me. Yeah, it just means they're not ordering it. Except for GW. Everybody who is asking for GW, it's not shipping. It's not in stock. Look at the website. It's horrible. I wish they'd get their head together. Actually, they should just give us their shipping and fix this whole thing. But that's another story for another day.
Hey, I'd take it. Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like I could do a better job, frankly.
Yeah, we just got another restock order. No, I shouldn't say we just got another restock order. It's due in tomorrow, and it's missing a ton of things.
It's about 60% full again only. I mean, it's horrible.
And it's been a good 6-7 weeks.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
Supposedly, they're starting to be kicking them up a little bit more frequently, so I'm hoping that we'll see something again in another week or two just after this.
I'm just happy.
We've been basically ordering stuff for people from the website. If you guys have a restock need or something other than new product ships out, and then who knows what happens with the other stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, having to fulfill customers' orders through web stores, it's a great stopgap.
Yeah.
But it's maddening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the best option.
It's not ideal. And the thing is, you know, when I looked at that order form of what was coming to us, I was ecstatic we were getting our plastic glue.
Yeah, we did. It's actually in stock, yeah.
We're not the only ones. I've been seeing this all over the retailer pages on Facebook, the retailer-only pages, where it's like, we're game and hobby shops that can't get friggin' glue.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's bad.
It's like, hey, buy this plastic kit. Well, how do you put it together? Good friggin' luck. Yes. Yeah, tape. Yeah.
Just like Forge World instructions. Step one, open box. Step two,
finish sculpting.
This is what it looks like when you're done.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Finish sculpting your own model.
I did that yesterday.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you're in there with that that hobby knife. Going.
I love that hobby knife.
Just going ham on that thing. One of the other things I want to talk about, because I'm not sure a lot of our listeners and even our customers understand this. When we go to cons, Griffin's Lair, we rep some of the biggest names in the industry in our booths.
Army Painter, Battlefront.
Warlord Games,
Gamers Grass, Parabellum for Conquest.
Soon to be, it's not an industry giant, but they make a hell of a game, DGS.
Yep. DGS.
Makers of Free Blades.
Deep Cut Studios, their mats. We're talking right now to Micro Arts Studio about being more involved and getting them a doorway to the U.S. There's a few more companies like that that we're not quite to that stage that we can talk about yet, but it's pretty exciting. That's why I said LVO is going to be pretty amazing next year. Even a company that's local, like Huge Miniatures, we're talking to them about repping them specifically at LVO because they're a small company. It's hard to get to Vegas from Cleveland.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And it's great to be working with these companies. And the fact that these companies, some of them industry leaders, feel confident in us.
Yes.
And yeah, that's the biggest thing I think that makes me feel the best is they're like, we want to work with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got hit up at Adepticon from MIG, from AK, we had a meeting with the guys from Deep Cuts who came in from Lithuania. Met one of the sales guys from Gamers Grass who came in for the show. I mean, Adepticon's a great place to meet people because it's the biggest miniature show in the U.S.
Yeah, so it's a networking dream.
Yeah, it was great.
Next to Gamma, I mean, it's pretty damn close. If not better, because you're actually, it's a gaming convention.
Yeah.
And even though we all go there to sell, it's a different atmosphere than Gamma.
Yeah, Gamma's a good atmosphere. It's a good show. Although we did decide to skip it this year. Getting to Reno from Erie is really a chore. It's a long, drawn-out week for the people who are going. With everything that's going on right now, we just didn't feel we had the resources to be able to dedicate to it without hurting something else. But based on what we did last week back in the warehouse, that is a true statement.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to switch gears a little bit right now. I know you haven't been following it as much as I have, but the million-pound gorilla in the room is releasing a certain box set next month.
Could it be 40K?
I believe it is. Yes, 10th edition is launching next month. How you feeling?
I'm open to the changes. It feels like they're making a lot of moves towards some of the things that AOS has. I'm hoping that that turns out to be a good thing. I haven't been checking all of the ins and outs. I know you and Lemon have been doing a lot more of the staying on top of what's coming, what the changes are. I always worry when it comes to the more, I hate to say sophisticated, but the more complicated armies to play, that they don't suffer in the long run and that they actually keep their uniqueness. And I'm hoping that's the case. So I'm hopeful, I guess. Let's leave it, put it that.
I'm kind of happy you said that, because if you looked at their roadmap that they put out for Codices.
Yeah, I saw that.
You play Eldar.
Yes, they weren't on that
map. You weren't even on that map.
Yeah.
And I know that's disappointing as an Eldar player, and even as a T-Suns player, because you rely on the psychic phase, which is gone now.
Right.
My thing is, though, I think it's a good thing, because it allows them to see 10th edition, or their new edition, regardless if it's 10th, 11th, 12th, 15th, 19th, 336th edition.
Boy, I hope I'm not here for that.
Right. It allows them to see the progression of their edition and where things need to change. So I'm kind of happy that they went with NIDs, because NIDs are a very much in your face and rip you apart, but then they have that hard psychic edge to them.
Right.
But it's not a psychic edge the Eldar would have or the T-Suns would have.
Yeah, it's a little bit different because it's not so direct.
Correct.
It's just more of a connection and a synergy rather than actual out and out, I'm blasting you in the face with my mind.
Exactly. And this edition, they've really moved away from, so far from what we could see and what they've talked about, they've really moved away from the mortal wound spam.
Yeah, I've noticed that for sure.
Which makes me a very happy person, because as much as I love the models for Age of Sigmar, nothing has upset me more than spending 45 minutes setting up a game to set up my army to have my opponent go first and mortal wound spam me off the table.
Right.
Before I get a chance to do a damn thing. And it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does...
Yeah, if it's possible, it's bad.
And I'm going to tell you what, this last... And I'm not knocking the game, because I did enjoy this last league of Age of Sigmar.
Okay. But
I ran an entire Tzeentch Demon army.
Yeah, different than, say, Sigmarines.
Guess what I did? I that mortal wounded things off the table.
Yes.
Very efficiently. And I was at the other end of the spectrum, and guess what? The game was kind of fun when you were able to do that.
Yeah.
But I found myself, as the player that I am, where I play very hyper-casually, I wasn't doing the stuff that the Tzeentch army can do. Because Jason, who also plays the Tzeentch army, me and him would talk constantly. He's like, you got to do X, and you got to do Y, and you got to use the acolytes like this and this. And he had all these synergies to just build up this powerhouse and then let it just explode across the battlefield. And I'm sitting there going, but I want my game to last more than 25 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. There is something towards being fun about playing. I mean, it's one thing, like you said, to wipe your opponent off the table. But really, how fun is that? Did that require any effort? It really didn't.
No, it's just me knowing my rules really well and me knowing your rules better than you.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. If I'm at a GT, I'm going to bring the hate.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you kind of have to. Yeah, that's how it's designed. It's just the way it is.
When I'm playing in a narrative league at the store, even with my, when we do Crusade leagues for 40K, I play themes. Like this past one, I did Imperial Fists. Imperial Fists were one of the worst Space Marine legions competitively, 9th edition. And I did Task Force Chonk, which was all dudes in Gravis armor.
Right.
And I was having a blast playing it because it was goofy. And there's games where I just, you know, decimated my opponents because they couldn't deal with the heaviness of the army and the fact that my guys, you know, had exploding sixes. But the other hand, if you were a heavy psychic player or you had, like I was playing, again, Jason, who was playing Thousand Suns, or no, excuse me, Tzeentch Demons in 40K as well, and the Flamers of Tzeentch are nuts. They just rip units off the table. But I was still able to come back from the end of that and still pull out a victory. But I was just thinking to myself, well, holy crap, that's just those erased units on basic die rolls. And it was kind of like one of those eye openers. I didn't take anywhere near first. I didn't take anywhere near last. I was kind of like in the middle of the pack with them. But playing a theme like that, I had the most fun. And seeing the direction of 10th edition for me, having literally from announcement and every GW update that they've put out, not the ones that leaks, because leaks are lies until they're not.
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's kind of fun to speculate, but when you actually have something that GW puts out, like a data sheet,
Yeah, then you know what then you're dealing know. With.
But then you do, like Lemon and I were talking, you don't, because this is a reboot.
That's true. It's still, it's in a vacuum that we don't know everything that's around it yet. So
I think they did the guard today, and the Baneblade has like a friggin' strength 24 weapon.
Holy shit.
The Volcano Cannon.
Okay.
I think it's, don't quote me, because internet, I'll get crucified. It's not strength 24, it's strength 12. No, it was honestly, I think, strength 24. I'm like, well, what the hell is that on a D6 system?
Right.
I mean, do I just, anything I hit, does it wound you on a -4?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's crazy.
And because you do, and that's the thing that Lemon would always say is you don't know the context of what the rest of the book's going to say.
Yeah, until you have it all.
And him being a competitive player, he's absolutely right. You don't know the context of everything. You can get excited about strength X and damage Y and all this crap and all these special rules, which again is fun to speculate and it's cool to see things progress. But then you do have to take it with a you don't know the context yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like measuring the excitement versus what endgame is going to be like. But seeing how they've promoted the phases and seeing kind of how the game's working, I'm kind of cool now with there not being a psychic phase, because now your psyker is doing spells as the game progresses, as it progresses in turn. So it's actually like, to me, it's the psyker's putting in work.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when there was no psychic phase.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like they just suddenly nerfed something that we've been dependent on since 1980.
Right.
But still, at the same time, it is a big change, and for those armies that depend on it dramatically, the concern is always, well, will it be as effective and as appropriate to the army as you want it to be?
Absolutely. And then they made major changes to how Battle Shock works and morale in general. And I, after reading it a couple times and watching a YouTube video about it in practice, I was like, okay, I can get behind this. To me, it always made no sense that you have Space Marines, right? They shall know no fear. They're genetically engineered. They actually physically can't feel fear. But then you bomb your test, and like two guys run away.
Yeah, it's like, right. That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, game mechanics versus reality versus lore versus whatever.
Well, so now how Battleshock works is when you make your Battleshock test, you become actually combat ineffective. You don't lose guys anymore. But you
makes
lose,
a little more sense.
It does, but you lose the ability to control objectives.
That makes a lot more sense.
You lose the ability to keep up your effectiveness in combat.
Yeah.
So it's actually more or less like a real effect of being under heavy fire or under assault. You're not going to be, you don't own that property anymore that you've been holding down.
Right.
You're not fighting back as effectively because you're just getting hit with overwhelming firepower.
Right. Yeah. Still keep your head down.
Absolutely. Even if you're, yes, an 8-foot-tall genetically engineered tank. Yes. Yeah. So I was very happy to see that work. I was kind of, like I said, with the psychic phase, I was kind of like, oh, cool. Now your psyker's actually, he's putting out an aura buff in the command phase. And in the movement phase, he's psychically wisping a unit ahead of him. And in the, you know, the shooting phase, he's, you know, smiting.
Yeah. I'm curious to see whether they're going to take a little bit of the effectiveness of them away. I mean, if I have a Farseer, you move and you do your abilities, possibly 3 damage-causing abilities. You shoot later on. Maybe if you get up close, you might fight in close combat. And if Smite takes a place of shooting, I mean, I had one game where my Farseer's pistol shot was the last shot to kill the Death Guard Terminator guy that jumped in behind lines. And so
nice.
Got him all the way down to 1, and it's like I needed that last shot to kill him. Otherwise, he still would have gone on his little rampage. So, you know, we'll be curious to see how that works.
Especially if they keep the psychers in the game as powerful as they should be.
Right. I'm hoping that we don't get nerfed so bad that we're not effective anymore.
Right. And that's across the board. That goes for Nids as it does for Space Marine Librarians as it does for
998 Suns.
Yes, 998 Suns, yes. And even Eldar.
Yeah.
You know, so, because you expect, you know, these guys are harnessing the power of the warp. That is inherently dangerous, but what they're able to do with it is incredibly powerful. This is rare.
Yeah, exactly.
In a human standpoint, you're talking about, in lore, in the fluff, literally less than 1% of the population has this ability to do this. and then get to the level of a regular human psyker, Primaris level psyker in the Imperial Guard, or a Space Marine librarian, the amount of power that they're able to actually put out there as this entity that can control the warp like that, right. It should be terrifying.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's an Eldar, a Space Marine, a Nid, this is literally tearing at the fabric of space and time.
Yes.
By them willing it to happen. So you expect it to like hit you, and it shouldn't be a jab. It should be a right hook.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. Like I said, I have hopes. It'll be interesting. The box seems like it's going to be a pretty good deal. I've heard 250 is the number.
Yeah, if it is, that is an amazing deal because the models in that box, I was one of the idiots that stayed up till 4 a.m.
Yes.
to watch the preview.
We were at the show, so we were busy asleep.
Rightfully so after 14-hour days.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Luckily, I had a bout up with insomnia and I was up for like 2 days and that was one of them. So I ended up kind of live streaming it on our games and events page.
Right.
As it went. And the models are amazing.
Yeah, as always, GW models are really great. It's one of the things they do the best.
At first when they announced them, I wasn't too excited about it until I actually seen the models next to other models, the Terminators.
Right.
They made them now true scale to the rest of everything else, and they are chonky.
Yeah.
They look like they can rip a tank in half now.
Right.
And they should.
They should, yeah, exactly.
And they should. And the Tyranids, the new Tyranid bioforms are just, they're friggin' cool.
Yeah.
They're the one that opens up its mouth like a lamprey eel. I mean, it's so cool, the one that spits plasma. Then you have my favorite, the classic Screamer Killer.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember his old model.
Oh, yeah, and then the new big one. Big round-headed guy.
Yeah, and I was telling everyone, it's like the Screamer Killer went to jail for 10 years, did nothing but lift, and he got swole as hell.
Right.
Yeah. Because he's huge. He's just a massive model now. So I'm looking forward to getting the box myself and painting all that stuff up. And just to let you folks know, I don't know their policy yet. I don't know if we're getting an advance copy.
We don't know. We'll know everything when they get their meeting about Leviathan. I imagine it'll be coming in the next couple weeks. There's times when they give us advance copies. There's times when they don't. Did we get one for Indominus?
I thought we did. I
think so.
Well, what I want to bring up is that Lemon and I have been wanting to hit the ground running with 10th edition. So if we do get an advance copy in, we will be doing demos as soon as we are allowed to do demos, if given the religious authority by Games Workshop.
Yeah, exactly.
To do demos as soon as possible, we will be doing that.
Yep.
Absolutely. And for you other folks that are patiently waiting a certain game to come out in June.
Shatterpoint. Star Wars. Shatterpoint.
Yes. This game has captivated everyone in the shop, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to play. I didn't even watch Clone Wars, but it has Bo-Katan and Mandalorians in it, so that's good enough for me.
Absolutely. And I like the scale of it. And we received our demo copy. It is currently being painted by two of the best painters in Erie.
Yes. And we have a demo copy in Pittsburgh that's going to be worked on as well. So there's going to be the advantage... opportunity for demos down there as well very soon. We're hoping that the one in Erie is going to be ready by Tuesday, maybe.
That was what they were talking about. If everything went according to both of our painters' plans, we should have the demo copy Tuesday, and the guys should be running demos maybe this coming Tuesday, maybe the following Tuesday, just depending on the painter's schedules.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm so happy, you know, Asmodee was cool enough to give us an advanced copy so soon.
Yep.
Kind of to get the word out, get the excitement up. Get the excitement up more than it is already.
Yeah, they were doing demos. The line to get into the demos at Adepticon was ridiculous. Like, there were people doing demos at four different tables, and then there would be a line of 10 or 12 people just waiting to be able to see what was going on with a quick run through.
I have to give them their jab. Was the line as bad as it was at Warhammer Fest to learn how to play 10th edition?
No, but the registration line was about that bad.
Was it really?
Oh, God, yeah. They started at when we got there, and we left at about 10 o'clock, and they weren't even close to getting everybody through registration. I'm sure there were people there till 2 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, it was packed. Wow. It was the biggest Adepticon ever. I don't know what the numbers were, but it was
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I just had to make the joke because, you know, they had a 4.5 hour queue at Warhammer Fest to play 10th edition. They only had 5 tables set up.
Oh, good Lord.
But Star Wars Shatterpoint, I want to get back to that. If those of you who've been living under a rock and don't know what it is, because a lot of people were like, oh, it's the Marvel Crisis Protocols for Star Wars. It's not. I guess the game system's completely different. It's based off another system.
Yeah, it's just there's some similarities. You're dealing with individual characters, and you've got that little bit larger model, and you're playing in a skirmish game. That's pretty much where it ends.
Absolutely. And there's this whole thing with it from a couple of guys that were looking at some advanced rules that had popped up online and kind of other previews, that there's a whole synergy mechanic on how you build your force. And so, and I'm looking forward to actually getting a demo of it myself. There's all the factions you can think of there, all the characters from the television shows and the movies are all there from all different eras.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of add-ons that are coming. They've announced a few of them already, so those will be coming along. And so it's gonna fill up pretty quickly, just like there are other parts of the Star Wars universe. You know how much stuff there is out there for Legion, for Armada, for X-Wing now, so we'll be seeing quite a bit of that.
Yeah, even finally, because we had a friend of the store, Chuck, who would never get into Star Wars Legion until he claimed they made an Ewoks faction.
Yub nub.
And he got his shut up and take my money moment a couple days ago. Yes, he did.
Legion's doing Ewoks. Woo!
Yep. And I love they're doing the Reebok of the AT-ST. Do you see that?
I didn't yet, no.
So it's cool. So it's a dual box, and you get your normal AT-ST, but now you can put an actual
Ewok in it.
Not an Ewok, Chewbacca.
Oh, that's right. Chewie was in there.
Yep. You can make Chewbacca one of your heroes in the Ewok army inside the AT-ST.
Oh, of course.
Because how badass is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Then there's the whole thing where you could have C-3PO be your general, and they just carry him around, and he hands out buffs. That's all he does because he's a protocol droid.
Yes.
And they just think he's God because he's golden.
Yep, and so he's floating through the air.
Yeah, he's floating through the air. So that's kind of his whole shtick, and I thought that was pretty hysterical.
That is funny.
So, yeah, so now the AT-ST is going to be a dual kit, which is cool. So if you Imperial players, you still get your Imperial AT-ST in there, and Rebels get an AT-ST, and then the Ewok faction gets their Chewie as their commander in their AT-ST.
Nice. That is funny.
It is. It's very funny. Very, very funny. So now let's segue off into a little different thing. We've seen some cool stuff at cons.
Yep. Almost every con, we find something new, interesting, what have you.
And we tend to bring those things back home with us.
Yep. Last year at Little Wars, we met with Forrest from Gunfighters Ball, and we've had a nice little run with playing that game. It's a great beer and pretzels, multiplayer, have some fun scenario game.
And for you folks, I guess Forrest is back up and running.
Yes, there were some issues with his fulfillment people. Maybe he should have come to us. So with his fulfillment people.
nudge, Utah, wink, wink.
Yeah. Who I don't know exactly what the details were. I don't know that he shared them, but there were some product issues. Something happened where the product wasn't available, or at least some of it wasn't available. Also, while we're talking about it, this is the end of individual characters from Gunfighters Ball. They simply can't handle how many there are and being able to promote them all. So there's like a very small window right now. If you're interested in getting a single model of something, they're all in packs, so you can get everything. Nothing's going away. That is something that they just have outgrown the ability to be able to do because of the way the models are cast.
Yes. And he's also making new card packs.
Yay. Always need those.
Yeah, I seen those on the Facebook page a couple days ago. So basically what I wanted to say with that is that we'll be able to start ordering again from Forrest.
Yes.
So we have a pretty decent selection of Gunfighters Ball, but it's starting to look a little barren. So we'll be pumping that up here in the coming months to get that back up to where we like it. Because Gunfighters Ball is one of those games where it's fun when you play it with your friends. It's more fun when you play it as a party game.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And thanks to guys like Mark and Bill Gilson
yes.
For running that here, pretty steadily.
Regularly.
Yep.
And it'll be showing up at one of our conventions, which will come up later in this show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's great that those guys, especially Bill and Mark, they just love the game.
Yeah, that's helpful.
And it's so helpful. This time around, we ran into Enemy Spotted Studios.
Yep. And, that was a Lemon.
Yeah, Lemon found them.
Yep.
And you had sent me a... You sent me a picture of their stuff, a couple pictures. And their demo table, I think you sent mm-hmm, a picture.
Yeah.
And you're like, you do moderns. Do you think we could do this? And I'm like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Because we had run into a problem, a COVID problem, when we were getting Spectre miniatures in.
And yeah, they weren't able to get metal to be able to do enough of their miniatures. And so we get rule books, we couldn't get models.
Right. And it was a point of contention because the community here in Erie really enjoys skirmish games.
Yeah.
And everyone's been wanting a modern skirmish game. And we have found it with Enemy Spotted Studios in country.
Right.
And we have launched that literally the day you guys got back.
Yes.
I cracked a starter set.
On Sunday night, and by Tuesday, 6 of the 10 starter sets were gone.
Yeah, I was hosting demos that Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah, and we ran
as
through.
As of yesterday, all the starters are gone, so we're placing a new order.
Yes, yeah, and we're going to be talking to those guys. I'm just going to put this out there to the community real quick. If there's something you want from Enemy Spotted Studios, if you go to In Country's website and you see all the cool stuff, you see the, you know, the vehicles, you see the special forces teams, you see all the cool guy kits. They are a small company. They are currently working on getting that stuff moved over to wholesale. So you just kind of have to be patient while they do their mojo so that we can order from them from their entire line and bring it into the store.
Part of it, too, is that they're changing over from resin and 3D printed product from their Kickstarter to metal miniatures, which are what they ultimately want to have available. They'll be better quality and more durable.
Yes, and as they do this switchover and this basically production, they get into full-scale production of what they have instead of relying on commercial 3D printers, which I will tell you firsthand are not user-friendly, not fun, and are temperamental as all hell. Personal feelings aside.
Yes.
That just is what it is. So I understand why they want to actually go and cast miniatures. So you just got to be patient with us as we're patient with them so they can get their business where they need it to be and they can get their production up and we'll be able to bring in certain products.
Right. And there's more coming. He mentioned that there's things in the works. So much like most companies, it doesn't all happen at one time. There is a production schedule. There is a whole plan to things coming along. So we'll keep you guys abreast of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, with the popularity that it's governed over the past week.
Yeah, how many demos have you done this week? 437?
Pretty damn close. The first Tuesday, I had 12 people. We did 8 or 9 games. Over the course of this weekend at Operation Griffin, that's our next segment, by the way, we probably played another dozen games.
That's great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Everyone who played it enjoyed it. I didn't have anyone go, well, yeah, it was okay. Everyone loved the system. Everyone loved the reaction system. So it's almost kind of like Infinity, I should say, where you're always playing if it's not your turn.
Yeah, that part of it is the same. It's a bit simpler than Infinity. Of course, Infinity is in the future with cyborgs and aliens and all kinds of stuff, which we don't have to worry about there. So it is a lot simpler system.
It is. It's a very simple system. But what I love about it, it is a very simple game to learn, and you'll learn it in a couple turns. Tactically difficult to master because of the amount of things you can actually do within the system.
That makes for a good game.
It makes for a great game.
Difficult to master.
Absolutely. So now, since we hinted at it, our past convention, Operation Griffin, went off this weekend.
Yep.
It was a little bit of a change of venue because we lost the venue.
Yes, unfortunately.
And we had to actually relocate it to the shop, but it actually turned into a really cool weekend.
Yeah, it was. It was good. It was busy. We had 6 people come up from Pittsburgh for the Bold Action event. We had a few other guys come up from Pittsburgh for Team Yankee on Sunday. Some Blood and Plunder events. A couple other games. There was a World War One Check Your Six that happened on Friday, French and Indian War game.
Barons War,
yeah. So it wasn't quite the scope that we were hoping for, but it still turned out to be a really fun weekend. We cooked the hell out of hot dogs, you dummy. A bunch of hot dogs, and people destroyed a couple hundred of those.
Yeah, I think we went through 120 hot dogs.
Jeez Louise.
And that was only 2 days.
40 of them.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. We were able to salvage it.
Yeah, we were able to salvage it, and it was good, which is going to lead into our next convention, which is coming out our infamous or famous, depending on how you look at it, InfernoCon this summer. We're splitting that off from the GT that we ran during it last year, and that's going to be its own thing. We'll get into that a little bit later or in a future episode, but we have InfernoCon coming. We've been making plans. If you look at Facebook, hopefully some of this will be getting up to Discord as well. The landing page is there. We'll start having tickets being available in the next day or two for at least the events that have been finalized. We're in the process of finalizing events. I know we have Bold Action planned and in place. There's a bunch of card game stuff. In the Zone is going to be coming again to work on Magic and Pokemon. Crystal and Colbus will be doing Digimon and Battle Saga Spirits and One Piece. I think there's even going to be a One Piece pre-release there. We'll have free RPG day happening at the same time, so that'll be available in the front lobby. We're going to have an Impetus competition.
I just wanted to point out real quick with free RPG day, our Game Masters will be at InfernoCon running one-shots.
Yes. Yep. There's going to be one-shots there. Michael Dunkerton's Zulu Ops will be happening. We're hoping to get Ivorone's Star Wars game that went over so well last year. There'll be things for the kids. We're going to be doing a paint and take. We're planning on doing a speed painting competition with Army Painter as the sponsor. And at the same time, we'll be doing the judging for the Golden Griffin painting contest and lots more other things. There's a bunch of games that we're still talking about getting ready that aren't completely finalized yet. But there's a lot. There'll be an Underworlds tournament on Sunday. Quite a bit of things. There'll be participation games. There'll be tournaments. We're hoping to have either a Flames of War or a Team Yankee event.
There's Bolt Action.
Bolt Action for sure. Chuck's already down for that.
Our monthly Warhammer 40K tournament is going to be held at that
event.
At this event. I'll be running an in-country scenario. Knock on wood if it gets here in time. I ordered a almost 4-foot-long cargo ship.
Yeah, that's a scenario in itself.
Yes, that is the scenario.
Yep, that's cool.
Yeah, so hopefully I'm able to get that off the ground. If the parts arrive from Australia.
Yeah, if not, we'll just change it up a little bit and do
absolutely
something else.
I'll just run into
that
scenario.
Apartment complex or something.
Absolutely. I have a whole list of scenarios that I wrote for Spectre that I can just adapt to this game in about 5 seconds.
Yep. We're going to have an MCP tournament. There will be a Conquest tournament. We're talking about the possibility of maybe Song of Ice and Fire. And while we were talking about demos, there will be Shatterpoint demos happening at the event. So that'll be exciting. Give people a chance to maybe see that for the first time, especially if you're traveling in from another place where you haven't had a chance to see it. You're coming in from another game, you get a chance to see. Those demos will be going Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And just to touch base on that, because we haven't put that information out yet, it is June 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
There's a ton planned for that weekend. We're also going to have Gunfighters Ball.
Yeah, that's right. Mark's planning on
so large multiplayer Gunfighters Ball game. Yep. Those are a blast, and they're hysterical.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
hell,
so,
and Blood and Plunder.
We've got events
for all 3 days for Blood and Plunder. So there's going to be plenty to do there. There's almost anything you can imagine. And the best part of it is they have great food. They have inexpensive food. They had $2 draft beers last year, and we'll probably be close to the same thing. You can get Italian dinners at night, or you can get hamburgers and hot dogs and breakfast sandwiches and French fries and all those fun things. You should start making your plans now. Tickets are going to be available very quickly. Keep an eye on Facebook. By the time we get our next podcast up, we'll be well into having everything available and set in stone.
I'm going to just flat out say it. Best breakfast sandwich I had ever eaten in my life.
That's a tall take right there.
It was basically as good as, okay, so McDonald's and Burger King and all the other fast food places, they're delicious, but they're unhealthy and greasy as hell. Call it what it is. The sausage muffin with egg and cheese that I got at the Saga Club.
Those are good, and they were like $3.
$3, they're huge.
$3.50, whatever it was.
They're huge. Yeah. There's two eggs per sandwich, and they hand-smashed the sausage patties.
Yeah.
So it was like getting a burger.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when we say there's good food, believe me, there was good food there.
Yes, there was.
It's worth it. Let's put it this way. The local Fallout group decided that they wanted to have the 40K monthly tournament as part of the convention because of the food and beer.
Yes.
Because they could have just had it a different weekend right here in the shop, and it was like, can we have that there too? Absolutely.
So, yes, and you'll also be able to, if you're from out of town or another local that wants to play 40K, you jump in that tournament. It's no big deal. Come on down and play.
Yep.
The more the merrier.
Tickets are going to be $20 for the weekend to gain entrance. $15 if you just want one of the days. Kids, we're going to have a kids area, like I mentioned. There'll be a few things for them to do. Hopefully, we'll even have a scenario and an RPG. We're trying to get that taken care of. A few other things, some paint classes and stuff. And kids will be $10 for the weekend. Tournaments will have an extra fee, but that's also because there are prizes and whatnot going. That'll all be listed when you look at each event. There's also plenty of games that are what we call participation games, which have no extra charge. You can jump into those. Again, things we mentioned like Baron's Wear, Gunfighter's Ball, and In Country, and all those type of games that people are running, Star Wars Legion event possibly, and a few other things like that.
It is nice to notice, too, I just want to bring this up. If you were to bring your spouse, significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend to the event, we have a special band for them.
Yes.
It's called a shopper guest band. So it just gives you access to the vendor hall and allowed to walk around the venue, but they don't have to pay to get in.
Yep, exactly. So, right, if you have a, you know, a preteen or a young teenager that you want to show some of the stuff off to, or your girlfriend, wife, or husband in that case, and they are brand new to the stuff you play and they don't, you want to show it off, that's available without having to worry about buying an extra ticket for them. The free RPG stuff will be available at the very front of the hall, so people who are coming in to get their free stuff will be able to do that there. And there's plenty of opportunities if you want to play in something, grab a ticket, and get into a bunch of games. I think Crystal said there's already 5 or 6 games set up. They're going to be finalizing this Thursday, I believe, one-shot games, which those always go over really well. If you're traveling, that's another opportunity maybe to get in a game that you haven't had a chance to try. I know down in Pittsburgh, we've been doing a bunch of one-shots of some different games, and that's been really popular down there too. So maybe there's some things up here that they're not doing yet and we don't have Game Masters for that you can come up here and give it a shot, maybe learn something new.
The other thing that's, you know, I want to mention, if you're coming from out of town and you're worried about attending the con because you don't want to subject your wife to the gaming hall for 3 days and you don't want your little kids to get bored, even if they're into the hobby or not into the hobby, coming to Erie in June is some of the, you know, let's just call it what it is. It's the best time to come to Erie.
Yeah, summer's great here.
It's beautiful. There's Presque Isle State Park. There's the beaches. There's Splash Lagoon.
Waldemere,
our amusement park. I mean, there's anything you'd want to do. Downtown is all revitalized. There's all these other...
There's a maritime museum. You can rent jet skis or a pontoon boat or a sailboat. Go out on the bay.
Absolutely. The hotels are cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ask for a better venue. I mean, if you want to come play games all weekend and they want to go do whatever they want to do, this is the perfect place to do it.
Yep, and there's some good restaurants in town. There's places you can go check out craft beers, play in some games, have the family go down to the beach or go hang out, or go kayaking, go hiking in the woods somewhere, and then in the evening time go out and get a nice meal or go to one of the bars or whatever you want to do.
I'm going to shout out to Cloud9 Wine Bar. down on 10th Street, and Bistro 26 on West 26th Street. It's my two favorite restaurants in Erie. They're a little on the pricey side, but when you go there and you taste the food, you're like, you don't care.
Yeah, good food's worth it.
Yep.
Definitely.
So anything else you want to add, Steve?
Well, this wasn't our topic plan for this episode, but it kind of went off on its own direction, which is cool. I would say that since we're on the topic of conventions, Historicon is coming up. Anybody who is a big historical player, this is the biggest historical convention in the East Coast. Definitely something worth checking out. It's in Lancaster. Lancaster is a pretty cheap place to go visit, and it's not that far. You get there in 6 hours. Then also, we are doing our GW convention coming up in early August in conjunction with Fallout and their War on the Shore GT. We're going to be doing a bunch of other Games Workshop stuff, so keep an eye on that coming up.
Well, thank you, folks, for joining us this evening. I really appreciate you always tuning in to listen.
Yep. As always, if there's something you want to hear about, anything topic-wise, we're always open to suggestions. We are planning now on getting this back to a regular schedule, so keep your ears open, and we'll be back here very soon.
Again, I'm Rocco.
And Steve.
And you're listening to Table Talk with Griffin's Lair.